We're going to turn our attention now to a former colleague of ours, former RTE sports commentator and journalist Jimmy McGee. He passed away during the week, just 82 years of age, veteran broadcaster. He'd been ill for a little while. Born in New York City, raised in County Louth, known as the Memory Man. He joined RTE in 1956 and in his time as a broadcaster, commentated on 10 Olympic Games and 11 World Cups. Now, he was also known for his association with this particular programme. In fact, from talking to him over the years, Sunday Sport on RTE Radio 1 remained one of the favourite things that he ever did throughout his career. Actually, he had an association with this programme on Radio 1 for well over three decades. Well, our producer, Barry O'Neill, has been into the archives underground here in our radio centre, and he's been digging out. We all know some of the gems. They've been out there all week, but he's also been having a little look at some of the ones that maybe you haven't heard in quite a while. Here they are.
When I was 8, 9, 10 years old, I used to do a program called Sunday Sport in my back garden. I did all the reports. I did the sig tune. Did the sig tune. Did all the reports.
Remember,
did the league tables.
When
kept it going.
You were young, and my grandfather, Lord have mercy, thought it was crazy. You shone like the sun. Shine on, you crazy diamond.
Bob's weaves side to side, up, down, in, out, scores left hand.
It's a long way to Tipperary, but it's a lot quicker with Kelly in the saddle.
A night to remember for his devoted fans from all over Britain.
Shine on, you crazy diamond.
Gogan and McGee, a line out of that Ray Charles song, "You Give Your Heart to Me."
Jimmy, did you do it yourself, Jimmy?
That was the year I did the Angelus as well, yeah.
Yes, he was on everything, Jimmy.
The public had to like the show. The client had to like the show. So it was a constant audience pursuit. No room for esoteric programming, really.
Different class! Different class! Left footed, right across the face, the goalkeeper came for it. There's no way to the net! Mark Rutherford has scored! And Rangers cannot believe it! As McGuigan goes for the big finish, catches him with a right hand. It's all over! It's all over! And surely, Barry McGuigan must be the champion of the world.
Michael Carew is the champion of the Olympic Games! Michael Carew is the champion, the champion, the champion!
Ladies and gentlemen, I can't believe it, but the little man from Clonus is a featherweight champion of the
John Tracy!
Kid winning it to Best. What a chance he has now. What a way he's going about it. And what a goal!
Kenny Taylor is the champion of the Olympic Games. Fabulous, Kenny. Champion of the world.
Oh, Jimmy, Jesus. A dream come true for me.
Chased him magnificently.
Oh, I chased him throughout the fight. And what have made him to put him down, Jimmy?
Barry, I'm so proud of you. Oh, well
so
done.
Proud.
My friends who went to Moscow in 1980 and they were absolutely obsessed with the room being bugged. They searched the taps and the bed and the sheets and the forks and the knives and the light bulbs and the drinks and everything, and they couldn't find it. 2 days they'd been searching, and finally they did. It was bugged, that little thing in the middle of the room. And they got six of them, and you know how heavy a big carpet is to roll back, and they rolled back the carpet. Took the majors to roll it back, but there it was in the centre of the room. So they went out to the Berioska, got a big pair of sharp scissors, I don't know what they call them in the trade, and they cut all the wires very neat. And said, we got you now. Cut all that thing around, the chandelier fell in the room below.
All I had to do was talk. It was bloody wonderful.
Yeah, Jimmy McGee, thanks to Barry for putting all those clips together. Absolutely great to listen back. Micheál Ormaithearthaigh has joined us here in studio. We're going to be hearing from him in a couple of moments' time. But first, we're going to play you a little bit of an interview that the last interview Jimmy did with us here on the programme. It was actually to celebrate his 80th birthday. And we're going to just play a little snippet of the interview. Jackie and myself here in the studio speaking to him at the time. This is on the 8th of February 2015. And this is Jimmy speaking the Sunday after his 80th birthday. And he hadn't lost any of his skills or his humour either.
My daughters organised a party for me, which I wasn't surprised that there'd be a party because it's an age I won't be at again. Well, maybe I will. But they didn't tell me who'd be at it, who should they invite. Nothing at all, which I'm delighted about, because therefore I didn't leave anybody out. So it was terrific. It was a really lovely evening in a nearby establishment called The Goat. I'm sure you've been in it many a time.
80 years old, but how many of those years have you spent broadcasting?
Since I was 18, which is a lot. It was a lot of times. I don't know. I actually caught it up. May 1956. How long is that? 60 years.
Yeah. Mm. What did you do? What was your first day?
The very first thing was a report and commentary, a piece of commentary on a hockey match. Where I grew up, there was only a hockey match every 100 years. But I did it anyway. Do you notice I'm hoarse now this evening?
That's from all your singing the other night.
When you get into this jazz idiom, and you do false notes, trying to do trumpets in your head and in your throat. So naturally, I'm a bit like that. But that long, it's a long time. And the interesting thing about it, in my own mind, I haven't changed a bit, because I still think the same way. I still admire the same things. So I cannot understand why people would say, you must be nearly finished. I genuinely expect to be around for another 10 years and maybe another 20.
You're feeling good?
Well, I'm feeling good enough to work anyway.
In all of those years, Jimmy, what were the highlights for you?
Well, there were so many. Starting off was a highlight, doing that very first that Jackie was talking about, the hockey, in May of 1956. That was special. Would I ever enter the Holy of Holies in RT Henry Street, as it was then? But I did. I did enter it and things went well. All the World Cups I've done, Olympic Games, everyone.
Is it 10 or 11 of each at this stage, have you, in terms of World Cups?
I've done 12 World Cups.
You've done 12 World Cups. How many Olympics?
15.
Wow.
Including 3 Winter Olympic Games.
Wow.
So each of those were special. And think of the people I've seen in those. Carl Lewis, maybe the best track and field athlete of all time. The greatest speedster there ever was, Usain Bolt. I've seen him win 2 gold medals in the 100 metres in both Beijing and in London. Barry McGuigan, that moment when he won the world title, was fantastic at QPR. I met Ali, who was just brilliant. Saw Ali box and golf, Jack Nicklaus, fantastic. I mean, he was the best. He won his 18th major when he was 46 years old, which was the Masters. He was 46 and he was born in 1986, which brought him to 18. But then along came Tiger. And everybody said, well, Tiger's a magic man. He'll pass 18.
Don't know about that.
He hasn't done it. And I tell you one thing, he won't do it now. It was sad to see him being taken away
the other night,
in a wheelie the other evening. I mean, he's had other problems off the golf course. But on the golf course, he was magical. I think the man who has a chance of catching and maybe surpassing Jack Nicklaus was born just up the road, Rory McIlroy. I think he, potentially, he's the best golfer that ever was. So his short game is good, his long game is fantastic. And if he keeps going the way he is, he'll get another 10 years out of his life, won't he? So if he only gets one major a year for 10 years, he'll be just creeping up on Jack Nicklaus.
It's great to hear you talking about Rory McIlroy, but we're here to talk about you, Jimmy. let's go back to some of your highlights. I mean, I know you probably get asked this all the time, but a load of people on our text asking us all those moments that you mentioned there, the greatest ones. Do people ask you all the time, what's your favourite commentary? And do you have one?
I don't
moment?
Have a favourite commentary.
You don't
no,
have
I don't.
One.
I think one of the ones that I should get joy out of was John Tracy's silver medal in Los Angeles. And I'll tell you why, because I did something I really should not have done. And that was to try and remember who'd won all the medals for Ireland. And I only decided that day when the race was on. I met John Tracy at a party in the week of the marathon. And he said, you know, I'm going to run the marathon on Saturday. I said, yeah, I see a record, but you've never run one. No, he said, I know. But he said, I'm going to run it. So I suppose you do the commentary. I said, I am. Well, if you see me, don't be too alarmed. But he said, if this wall that they're all talking about is not as fierce, and I get to the wall and I'm still alive, I'll give it a good shout. Up on the screen comes this figure of, and he had a special gait, hadn't he, John Tracy? And there he was in the running, four or five guys in or around him. And now I knew in my head, this guy is going to do it. He was serious on Saturday night when we met in this person's house in L.A. And then I said, I wonder what it'll be. And whilst I was commentating, I was thinking back all the years. Could I remember them all? And I kind of did. I kind of remember them all, but I couldn't.
You couldn't check that on your iPhone, could you?
No, I couldn't. What's an iPhone? Anyway, I don't think they existed then, did they? 1984. But anyway, I said, I'll chance it. I'm telling you now, a trade secret that I shouldn't have done at all. So I decided I'll have a go. How long will it take me to do that? I'm saying all these things to myself whilst I'm still doing the race. I said, it'll probably take him, while he's running, about 110 metres. I'll have time to do it all. Well, I go. I've no one to ask on him myself. And I give the nod to myself. And then I started. So when he had about that much to go, I said, and Ireland, and you know what I said, in Ireland, I won medals. But I wanted to finish exactly as he was crossing the line. And that's exactly when I finished. That's what the 13th time a medal goes to John Tracy. It was nearly a miracle that it happened, but it did. And I suppose I should be most pleased about that. So you'll accept that as an answer.
Jimmy, it was great talking to you today.
I've enjoyed it immensely.
Yeah.
Probably spent many a Sunday afternoon.
It's great to be back in the studio, is it?
It brings me back. To put a new wall covering on, it's really nice too. Everything is nice. I used to do it on my own, but now there are two of you. And you sit so close together.
Jackie, will we hear now why he lost the voice the other night?
This is
the big finish off, Jimmy. Thanks for having been in here with us.
Thanks for not having me.
I'll talk to you again soon. Yeah, Jimmy McGee. Hard to believe he's not here with us anymore. Commentator, sports broadcaster, crooner, Micheál an Mórthír. Can you sing like that? Anyway, as good as that as Jimmy?
I haven't tried yet.
Still time.
Oh, he was an all-rounder. I always thought he was an ambassador when he was abroad. He loved going abroad. I would say the Olympics would be his favourites. He loved all sport. Enjoyed the moments. He had that great ability. Once he saw something fantastic, he nailed it in the memory for all times to come. He was that sort. And he loved great moments. Never looked for negatives in games. He went to see what was good in it, what was promising in it, what was uplifting in it. And I knew him for a good number of years. He mentioned 56. You know, RTÉ, or it was Radio Éireann at the time, they were branching out, covering more sport. At one time, there'd be one sports programme on a Friday night, Sports Stadium. It was written by journalists. It would be a report from each province. It would be written by journalists, sent then, and actors were hired then to read it. But there would have to be a rehearsal, and then it would go out live. And what a change then, live broadcasting, going to different venues and living on hope at the beginning that these things would work. Anything connected with sport always worked. So Jimmy was there for the start of that, and it's been expanding ever since. And RTÉ Radio over the years, they have given great service to sport.
Micheál, yourself and Jimmy, two of the most recognisable voices on this programme, Sunday Sport, over the years. And I know working as commentators, or maybe Jimmy when he was sitting in this particular chair as the presenter, you probably didn't get to be in the same room an awful lot of the time.
We rarely met because...
Did you know him well, though?
I knew him well because I used to meet him a lot socially. We used to play cards, we used to play an odd bit of golf, and you'd meet him at occasions. Any occasion, like the launch of anything, if it's connected with sport, Jimmy would be there and he'd have little comments to make that would start a conversation that mightn't end until 3 hours later. So little thing. He was great that way, you know, to have fun. He loved fun. The funny side of everything appealed to Jimmy, no matter what it was. And he loved things like nicknames on players. For instance, now if Jimmy was sitting here and we mentioned Cavan, he'd say the Polo Grounds. And then he'd say the Gunner Brady. People with nicknames, they fascinated him.
Micheál, you're synonymous with commentary. Can I ask you about the art of commentary from Jimmy and his style and how highly you rated him?
Well, Jimmy was able to invent things. If hockey was mentioned there, his first game broadcast was a hockey game. Apparently, there was nobody at the game. And somebody from the studio said, there's no atmosphere coming out here. And Jimmy said, there will be shortly. And he steps outside and gave a few terrible yells or something. Back in again, that was atmosphere. He had a solution for everything.
His commentaries were almost, you know, they're intertwined with history now, aren't they?
Oh, with history.
I just wonder as well, you know, is that something that he worked on or was it something that kind of naturally came to him?
He came upon it. Why I mentioned Olympic Games, I'd say to the, you know, the history of the Olympic Games.
We're going to listen back to that famous moment from the 1984 Summer Olympics, John Tracy's famous victory. And then we're going to talk to the man, John Tracy himself. So here is 1984.
They're going for silver, they're going for bronze. John Tracy is 100 metres to go. In the past, Ireland have won bronze medals. John Caldwell, Freddie Gilroy, Sox Byrne, Jim McCourtney, Russell. They've won golds. Pat O'Callaghan twice, Bob Tissell, Ron Delaney. They've won silvers with John McNally, Fred Teague, Wilkinson. And for the 13th time, an Irish medal goes to John Tracy. The crowd stand to the Irishman from Billierstown and Waterford. My fellow commentators are on their feet. It is quite remarkable. The little man with a great heart.
The little man with the great heart joins us now. John, thanks for joining us here on Sunday Sport.
Thank you, Darragh.
I suppose, I know you've been listening, you heard that little piece with Jimmy a little bit earlier on. Were you aware that that iconic line in Irish sports broadcasting, he took a bit of a chance on it. He wasn't sure where, how it was going to end up. Were you aware of that story?
Well, I've lived with that commentary for the last 30 years. Anytime the race is mentioned, the commentary is also mentioned. And I think it has definitely added to my silver medal, without a shadow of a doubt. I think a lot of people actually forgot that I was second and not first, because they all congratulated me on my victory in Los Angeles. And I think Jimmy was the one that delivered that, but he did a fantastic job. I was listening to all that, and I was smiling and laughing through it all. And I think one of the big pieces about Jimmy is anyone he touched, we all walked away from him smiling. We all had a good laugh with him. That was a very special piece about him.
And don't people say often, nobody remembers seconds. I think more people would tell you who was second in the marathon in the Olympics in Los Angeles in 84 than would tell you who won it.
Yeah, he captured it extremely well.
Extremely well.
Extremely well.
And that was not a surprise to people that knew him, you know.
No. And we had this wonderful interview after the race as well. And he captured the joy. But even you could hear it in his voice. And you hear it in all the commentaries that he makes. The joy, the passion.
Joy, fun, yes.
Fun. It's all there. It's all there. And it just embellishes the whole piece, and it really kind of sinks into the memory of people. And that's what that commentary did to Irish people that listened to it.
John, just a quick question as well. Obviously, in your role as CEO with Sport Ireland, you have a good feel for all the different codes and across the codes. How well do you think Jimmy McGee was both respected and liked across all the codes, not just in his favourite sports or his chosen sports?
We've just talked about athletics, but the sport that I would say was Jimmy's sport really was the boxing. We know about 92 and we've listened to that, but even going beyond that in recent times, Jimmy was part of the establishment of boxing, going off to tournaments around the world, whether it be qualification for the Olympic Games or whatever it is. And they weren't in the most cosmopolitan areas in the world at all. They were in not so nice places. And Jimmy was there among the team and really commentating, but really cheering the lads on. Everyone had a word to say about him. Everyone had a bit of crack with him. And I suppose the coaches liked him, the boxers liked him, and you saw that during the week as well. They all came out in their droves to pay their respects to him. But he really was, I would have, in recent times, we would have sat down around boxing and spoken about boxing and talked about the great guys that were involved in boxing. And whether it be Joe Ward, Kenny Egan, Michael Carruth, whoever it was, he always spoke highly, highly about all of them.
Mike Mihal?
Yeah, and one thing about him, when ladies' sports began to become more regular than they had been and facilities improving, Jimmy was supporting and promoting sport for all people, Katie Taylor would be a good example, Sonia O'Sullivan, and hundreds of others. He promoted sport for everybody.